We need to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your people. And I believe, Lord, that the word of the Lord is life-changing. Lord, that it has a power to transform our lives. And so, Father, today I ask you, Lord, that this time will be fruitful. Lord, that it will be exactly what you desire it to be, that your word will accomplish everything you've sent it to do. I pray, Father, that you'd help me this morning, Lord, to just speak what you'd have me to and to be obedient to that. And Lord, to give us hearing ears, we ask you, Father, that we would see spiritual truth with the eyes of our heart and that our ears would be open to hear and receive that we might obey fully in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be, Lord willing, concluding this series on wisdom titled Get It. This is going to be the last message in that series, and in some ways, I feel like this message could be viewed as just kind of trivial and not really that important. The title of the message is Time-Wise. And it may seem like that's not really that important in living a life of wisdom, how we handle our time. But I can assure you that it is, and I want you to see in Scripture and see in the principle of Scripture how important it is that you use your time wisely. We're going to begin with Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In the NIV, it says it this way, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." It's interesting that in this powerful letter that the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to the Ephesians, where he addresses so many very spiritual issues, things like spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, and where he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And here in this powerful letter full of deep spiritual truth, he tells us that we are to be wise, to live our lives watchfully, wisely. And he says this, redeeming the time. I want you to understand that it may sound trivial to talk about how important it is to use your time wisely, but I'm telling you, this is the heart of living out the Christian life, is how you use your time. It's one thing to talk about your commitment. It's one thing to talk about how your good intentions, and you want to do this and you want to do that for God, but what it really comes down to is how you use your time. He says, walk circumspectly. It is to look, to be watchful of how you live, making the most of your time. This is more than time management. There are a lot of people in this world that understand time management and manage their time very well and yet live wasteful lives. We're talking this morning about learning to use our time wisely, to invest it wisely. And it may not seem like a big deal, but I can assure you that in one sense, what our life is here on this earth is a summation of our time, the time that we have. Benjamin Franklin put it this way, "Do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." To be wise with our time, we need to understand that our time constitutes our life here on earth. What we do with our time is what we do with our lives. Here's the first principle. I want you to get this, that we have to understand that our time is what our life is made up of. What you do with your time, that's what you're doing with your life. Now you see, if somebody asks us, well, what are you doing with your time? We don't think that much of that question. Well, I'm doing a little of this, a little of that, no big deal. But when somebody says, what are you doing with your life? We think, oh, now that's a deep question. That's important. I got to think about that, and I got to, you know, be careful how I answer this, because what I do with my life, that's important. You need to understand what you're doing with your time. That is what you're doing with your life. And therein lies part of the problem. See, a lot of time we have big ideas and we mean well. We have good intentions. But we're not wise in how we live out our time. And the end result is that we waste, not just waste time, we're wasting our life. Misappropriated time is misappropriated life. How we spend our time determines a lot of things in this life and the one to come. We need to know how we're spending our time. We need to learn to be wise in how we use it. James chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "You do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life?" And again, he's not speaking about eternal life. He's talking about your life here on earth. Your life here on earth is a summation of your time here on earth. What is your life? He says, "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." What is your life? It's just like a vapor, a mist that appears for a short time. You see, in the expanse of eternity, we're here just a short time. And he says, "What is your life?" It's that little short expanse of time in the expanse of eternity. That's what your life is. Speaking of our earthly lives, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The things done while in the body. He's talking again about your earthly life. And that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to be accountable. We're going to receive what's due us for the things done in this body, in this time that we had. We're going to give an account. I told you a few weeks ago that we should be able to give an account for the money that's entrusted to us and never say, "Well, I don't know where the money went and I don't know what happened to it." No, but how often do we say that about our time? "I don't know where the time went." We need to be accountable. If we think it's important to be accountable with our money that's entrusted to us, how much more important is it that we are accountable for the life, the time that has been entrusted to us, that we use it wisely? See, the thing about time is it just keeps going by. You can't stop it. You can't save it up. You can't hoard it up. You have to use it every day. And that's where part of the real struggle is for many of us, because you have to make those wise choices every day throughout the day. You can't get that time back. You got to use it when it comes. And when it does, every day, you have a choice whether you waste it or you invest it wisely. Psalms 90. Verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days aright. Now, certainly when somebody feels that they only have a certain number of days to live, it tends to change how they live. They want to make it count. But what the Scripture is speaking of here, it's not telling us that you have a certain number of days that it's going to reveal to you how many exact days. But the principle is that our days are limited. For every single one of us, our days are limited. Now, as you get older, you realize that more and more and more. When you're very young, it's hard to imagine. I mean, you're looking at 50, 60 years, you're thinking, I got a lot of time. It's hard to realize and acknowledge, but your days are limited. And here's the principle of wisdom to be time-wise. You got to know that your time is limited. Your time here on earth is limited. And because it is, it's very valuable. Listen, De Beers owns a huge portion of the diamond market of the world. So much so that they can control to a great degree the prices of diamonds by withholding supply. Whatever there is a limited supply, whether that supply is just being withheld or truly is a limited supply, it's going to go up in value. OPEC does the same thing. They withhold oil and it drives the price up. But things in this world that there truly is a very limited supply, it makes them valuable. And I want to tell you something. Your time is limited. And that makes it valuable. In fact, it's more valuable than money. You can get more money. You can make more money. You can't make time. It's limited. And you need to understand that principle. Because what happens to so many people is they waste time because they don't realize the value of it. See, when you have something that you think is worth little, you don't mind wasting it. Listen, when water's cheap, you water the yard, you don't care, you know. You got your own well at your house and the pumps run a little bit, but it doesn't cost you hardly anything. You don't care, you just water all you want to. But when that water's costing you a whole bunch of money, you're a little more careful with it. You understand what I'm saying? How much more should we realize that with our life, it is not something that's cheap or worthless. Our time is valuable. And so what we do with it is important. We need to be investing it into things that matter, things that are going to reap a reward and a return in this life and in eternity. So that second principle regarding time is that our time is limited. James said that our life appears for a little time. Your time is valuable. You need to realize that the time that God has given you is very precious and you should treasure it. Listen, number it. You need to realize it's limited and it's valuable and that it matters to God. See, we can't make more time. We can only redeem the time that we have by being wise. Realize the value of time. One more year, what value that has to the student that has to repeat a grade. Realize the value of a month for the mother who gave birth prematurely to a little baby. Or the value of an hour to a businessman whose flight was delayed and he missed an important business deal. The value of a minute for the man who had a heart attack in a restaurant, the EMT was at the next table, or maybe his wife was a nurse. Realize the value of a second where a car narrowly missed another car in a head-on collision, or realize the value of a millisecond in the Olympics where it makes the difference in winners and losers. But you know what? Here's the real value, is that your time is something that God has given you here on earth to be used for a purpose. And we can't afford to waste that or use it foolishly, but we got to redeem the time, make the very most of it. I read this somewhere, copied it. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Too many people focusing on the past or maybe someday, and consequently, they're not living in the right here and right now and using their time that they have. A.W. Tozer wrote this, "Time is a resource that is non-renewable, non-transferable. You cannot store it, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't hoard it or save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember it has no resurrection. So understand, you should treasure your time as something that is valuable and precious that you are given to live in this world. The third principle about time to make us time-wise is that there are things that God wants you to accomplish. Every single one of us. There are certain things that God wants us to do. There's a purpose for every life. You know, that's so clearly evidenced when he talks about the body of Christ and how that each member, each part has a place, has a function in the body of Christ. Every single one of us. God doesn't have any accidents. He doesn't make any junk. Every one of us is born with a purpose, a potential. There's a plan of God for your life. And when you consider your time, you need to realize that that is what your time is to be invested in and to be used for, is the purpose of God. Acts 13 and 36 in the NIV says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. And you see, that's what we're here for, is to serve God's purpose. And we all have heard this verse many times. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. I want to tell you, your time is not your own. Your time belongs to God. You know, when you work at a job and you're on the clock, your boss will tell you that while you're on the clock, your time belongs to him. And then when you're off the clock, your time belongs to yourself to do what you want. But all of us who are Christians and have made Jesus the Lord of our lives and would say, I've been bought with a price. We need to acknowledge that all of our time ultimately belongs to God. It's not my time to do as I please and whatever I want to do. No, as a Christian, we have made Him the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our time. And I want to tell you, there's a real freedom in that. When you submit your time to the Lord and you make yourself His servant with your time, you will find a freedom in your time. One of the most remarkable truths about time is that all of us have 24 hours in a day. Now, some may have more days than others, but all of us get 24 hours in a day. Doesn't matter how young you are, old you are, rich or poor. Doesn't matter how important, unimportant. You can be the most influential, powerful, richest, whatever person in the world. You still only get 24 hours in each day. When you look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, He got 24 hours in a day. And He never seemed to be in a hurry. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? He was doing the most important job in history, redeeming mankind. But He was never in a hurry. He seemed to always have time to do the things that He needed to do. And He only had a very short time, a very few years to do it. Listen, He was finished with His earthly life when He was 33 years old. Such a short time that He had to do what He was sent to do. And somehow, He seemed to have time to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, to stop and pick up little children and hold them in His arms and bless them. He had time for the down and out and for that woman at the well who had had five husbands. Somehow He always had time. Isn't that amazing? The most important person that ever walked this earth, He had all the time He needed to get the job done. And yet some of us, now I know some of us think we're pretty important. Don't go there. Some of us think, well, Jesus didn't have as much to do as I do. Come on now. We think we are so busy. We are so full of ourselves. We think we're so important that we don't have time. You see, here's the real issue. We have to know that God has a purpose for us. And when we realize that, and we make that our priority, and we invest our time in God's plan and purpose for our life, it is amazing how everything else falls into place. Again, it is that principle of Matthew 6:33 that when you seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. That when we put God first and we acknowledge Him first, He takes care of everything else. See, we tend to be so hurried, so stressed all the time. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." How can that be? See, He knew what He was here to do. He did what the Father wanted Him to do. And that is the great principle for us in being wise with our time, that we do what our Father wants us to do. I just got to tell you, you know, we're so hurried and stressed and so busy. And it's amazing how we all have all of our time-saving devices. All of our modern technology and our cell phones and the internet and our computers and GPS, everything else. All these things saving us time. You know, as a pastor, you know, some years ago, I switched over to a great extent. I like to study the Bible on the computer because I don't have to flip and hunt and hunt and get the concordance and go back and forth. No, I'm telling you, with no exaggeration, probably 25 or 30 times faster than that. Or maybe 100 times faster. I can click, click, and just as fast as I can click, start going through scriptures in the concordance on the computer. Just as fast as I can glance at them, looking for something that speaks to my heart or what the scripture or verse I was in particular looking for. It's amazing. I don't have to have walls of commentaries and word studies. No, just a couple of clicks on the computer and I can look at 5 or 10 sets of commentaries, any number of different word studies. Oh, it's all these time-saving devices, and yet out of all this stuff that we do to try to save time, we seem to have less time than any generation that ever lived. I'm telling you, there is a deception. There's an enemy who wants to steal your time. And the real issue is, we need to realize that we have a limited amount of time and it's very valuable. And we need to realize that God has a purpose for our lives. And that when we pursue that purpose and fulfill that purpose, we have time. We should do what we're called to do, what God wants us to do. And not allow the influence of society, the opinion of others, listen real closely, or selfish ambition to take our time. So much of our time is spent trying to please others, the opinion of others, or what society thinks we ought to be doing. But most of all, so much of our time is spent in selfish ambition, pursuing what we selfishly want. And there is the greatest tool of the enemy to steal our time and to keep us from using it the way that it was intended and invest it wisely so that we see a reward and a return on our time instead of a waste. I'm telling you, we need to be watchful over our time. When He says walk circumspectly, be very careful. That's what it literally means there, is that you watch over it. That you are watching over your life. How you use your time is so important. So we've got to redeem that time and make the most of it. It is a gift from God, much more valuable than any treasure. Now, if you have great valuables, you have to be wise with what you do with that so that a thief doesn't steal it. The Bible says that there's a thief that comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus came to give us abundant life. I'm telling you, that thief wants to steal away your time and keep you from fulfilling the purpose and the plan of God. Keep you from using your time for things that really matter. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, there are things that God has prepared for each one of us to do in this life. Satan wants to keep us from having time to do those things. He wants to keep us from having time to do the things that make a difference in eternity. He wants to keep you from having time for those key relationships in your life. Time with your family, your close friends, maybe time for an acquaintance, a co-worker, a lost person. It's amazing how Jesus always had time for those important appointments, opportunities. Remember the NIV said in Ephesians 5:15 and 16, he says, making the most of every opportunity. How can you do that when you just don't have time? No, but we have time when we realize what's really important and we focus on the purpose of God in our life and what God wants us to do. See, the enemy wants you to never have time to be involved in ministry. This is an epidemic problem in the American church today, is that people don't think they have time to get involved in a church. Well, you know, I like to come once in a while, but I don't want to get involved. Now, if I'm getting on your toes right now, don't get mad at me. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to help you. That's not what God intended in the body of Christ and in the church. That's not really what church is about. No, church is about being a part of a body and being connected. It is spiritual family. It's more than just showing up and attending once in a while. That's not what God wants. No, but that's what it's been reduced to because people in America today feel like, well, I'm just too busy. I don't have time. I don't want any demands on my time. And you try to put demands on people's time and they squirm out. They run. I'm preaching good right now. It's really quiet in here, but I'm telling you, this is real Christianity. It's what we actually do with our time and how it's being robbed from us, or if we're investing it in the kingdom and in relationships that matter for eternity. Don't have time. I'm telling you, in a lot of churches, the mega churches today, you don't have to do anything. We'll hire it done, and you just show up and drop a little money in, and everything's good. But I'm telling you, that's not what God intended. He intended that every part of the body of Christ has a purpose. Every part of the body of Christ, there are works that we are supposed to do for God. You need to understand, you need to know that the enemy of your soul wants to keep you from having time to do those things. He wants to keep you from having time for your wife, for your kids. He wants to keep you from having time even to sit at the feet of Jesus for a devotional life and to pray and to read the Bible. Ultimately, listen, talk about getting involved. Ultimately, he wants to get it to where you think you don't even have time to go to church at all. There's a lot of people are there. And they say things like, oh, that's my one day off. Or, well, we'll just back up. For some of them, it's, I got to work 7 days. That's all there is to it. They forgot who their source was. And then there's others that say, well, that's my one day off to sleep in and to mow the yard and to go to the lake. And I don't have time to go to church. I'm telling you, the enemy will steal away your time until you don't even have time for God. The key is that we realize that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We live in an evil day. when there are so many things that will steal away our time if we don't take control of it and use it wisely. The fourth principle is to be wise with our time is that we got to remember the little choices matter. We talked about this several weeks ago in making wise choices. A lot of times we think the big choices are important, but we fail to realize that the little choices over time have a cumulative impact and value. Over time, it's those little choices that end up making the biggest difference in our life. You see, at the beginning of the year, you can say, well, I'm going to pray an hour every morning. But then, every morning, when you make the choice not to pray, to do other things, you say, well, I didn't make a choice not to, I just did this instead. It doesn't matter that you made that big choice. What matters is all those little choices. You know, on the other hand, you can fail to make any kind of resolution, like to pray an hour a day, but you just start in the morning getting up and saying, today, I'm going to read my Bible for 15 minutes and I'm going to spend a few minutes in prayer. And you make that choice again the next day, and you make that little choice again the next day and the next. And over time, it begins to have a big impact in your life. Over time, it begins to make a big difference. So I'm telling you, the little choices that we make regarding time are very, very important. See, a lot of times we don't get that. We think, well, you know, it's no big deal. It's just 15 minutes, or it was just an hour that I wasted. But it adds up. There's a cumulative impact for good or for bad. One of the best ways to use that cumulative value of is investing small amounts of time into important things, and you do that for a long period of time. See, most people's lives don't get in a mess overnight, and most people's lives don't get fixed overnight. A lot of times it's what we do day in, day out, and those little investments in our lives that make a big difference and in the end determine our success or failure. Now, exercise just provides such a great illustration. And I want you to understand, this is merely illustration. Exercise profiteth little, the Bible says. It does profit a little, but little. And I want you to apply this to more important things, spiritual things, relationships that matter for eternity. But let's just say that you decide that you're going to exercise every morning. That's your determination. You understand the benefits of exercise, and so you make this decision. I'm going to exercise every day. There's a cumulative effect of exercise in a few minutes every day over a period of time. At the end of a year, you're going to see and feel a difference. In 10 years, you're going to reap the rewards in your health. But if you go work out for 2 hours one day and then don't work out anymore, all you're going to get out of that is sore. You know, you can't wake up one day and go, hey, I haven't been exercising, so I'm going to go out and run 10 miles and make up for it. It doesn't work that way. No, it's that little investment that you make every day that over time is going to pay off for you. Now, there's a deception that comes because sometimes we think, well, what does it matter if I miss a day? There wasn't any big effect from missing a day. And again, apply this in spiritual areas of your life. There's not a big effect if you didn't pray one day. Now, I know some of you real spiritual people are going, now, wait a minute. Well, I'm just saying you're not going to totally backslide because you missed one day of prayer, all right? You should pray every day. But if you missed a day, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world. If you failed to spend time with your children one day, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to totally destroy your relationship with your kids. And so there's a deception there that those little investments and daily deposits of time don't really matter. But they do. Over time, it adds up and it has a tremendous impact on your life. Here's a few activities that will make a big difference in your life if you invest a small amount of time on a consistent basis. Dinner with family. Going to church. Going to a small group. Quality time with your children. Quality time with your spouse. Time alone with God. Now, I want to tell you, you'll see virtually no change in your life from one daily investment in any of those areas. But when you make an investment of time on a daily basis over a long period of time in any of those important areas of life, you are going to see great rewards down the road. You're going to see that it had a tremendous impact on your life and the lives of other people. You know, when I pastored in Medill, Oklahoma some years ago, it was kind of unusual. We lived in a parsonage on a certain block. And on that block, there were at least two other pastors that I knew of. Their parsonages were on that block as well. The pastor of the First Baptist Church and the pastor of the First Methodist Church. And all of us had children that were about the same age. And they all made straight A's. It's not because they're pastors' kids. It's not because we're more spiritual, so our kids make A's. That's not it. I was discussing that with an aunt of mine who taught school almost all of her life. And she said, you know what the real deal is that all of those kids have stable home lives where y'all eat dinner together. And after considering that for some time, and in fact doing some research on that subject, I found out that that is exactly right. Now, it's not that spending time with your kids makes your kids smarter. It's just that when you spend time with your kids, you are investing on a daily basis. You're investing into them your wisdom. You're investing into them that spiritual life that's in you. You're putting that into those children. You're investing into their development, not just spiritually, but socially and in their values. In every way, you're instilling into them a security that's priceless. I'm telling you, as you spend time with your children, and you know, you say, well, I spent an hour with my kids, or we had dinner one day and it didn't make any difference. I know. I'm telling you, it is that consistent investment of time over and over and over again. That's what makes the difference. If you don't spend time investing in your marriage, I can assure you, trouble is coming. Marriage has to be worked at. Marriage is something that's important in your life, and your relationship with your spouse should never be taken for granted. Sometimes married couples will go for years without really having a meaningful relationship and putting much time into that relationship, and then they go to a marriage weekend. Now, that's a good thing, all right, but I'm just going to tell you that if you've been 3 years without spending time, quality time with one another, one weekend isn't going to fix everything. It might be a start, but it's not going to fix everything. The bigger payoff is when you give that time day in, day out, just a few minutes that you set aside for quality time with one another. We need that kind of time with our family and friends. We need to invest that kind of time. Relationships are what's really important. And most of all, we need to daily set aside time to invest in our relationship with God. Now listen, none of us can earn a relationship with God. We are in right standing with Him by grace. Our righteousness is given to us by faith. It is all because of what Jesus has done, none of what we have done. No, it is freely given to us. But we also need to understand that when we spend time with God in His presence and in His Word, then our relationship with Him deepens and it develops. There are many, many, many believers who are, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, carnal, worldly, babes in Christ. They're born again, but they don't have any deep relationship. They have never grown or matured as a Christian. How does that happen? I'm telling you, as you daily spend time with Him and you grow in the Lord and you spend time in His Word, there's a payoff. You see, you can get your Bible out tomorrow and you can say, all right, Pastor, I'm going to see. I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. And you get done and you say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I really got anything out of that. I know exactly how you feel. I feel that way sometimes myself. But you do it every day, day after day after day. And over time, you reap the rewards. Over time, you reap the benefits. In fact, for some of you, I just want to tell you, I've heard this kind of stuff so often in my years of pastoring. People will say, oh, I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. What did you get? Did you get anything out of a chemistry book the first time you read it? Nor the last time, right? But let me tell you how you do. You keep studying it. And the Bible is not difficult, but a lot of times the first time you read it, you may struggle. You may struggle to understand practically anything. But the more that you read it and you pray and allow the Holy Spirit, He'll begin to reveal truth to you. You'll begin to understand things. In fact, there are passages, and every mature believer can verify what I'm saying right now. There are passages I've read 100 times, and the 101st time I read it, all of a sudden I see something I never saw before. And the Holy Spirit reveals new truth to me. What I'm saying is it's cumulative. As you continue to read, you continue to study the Bible, and you continue to pray. But it's that little investment of time on a daily basis. And yet we allow the enemy to rob us, to steal away our time with all kinds of foolishness. It's not just work and demands of responsibility. No, in our country today, we believe it's a right to have our leisure time and our hobbies and, well, let's just call it what it is, our way to waste time. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to be able to relax and enjoy things and play and laugh and have a good time. I believe He does. But I'm telling you this also, that there are a lot of people that develop habits and addictions that are a bondage in their life, where they're spending 2 or 3 hours a day watching TV, a couple hours on the internet, bound up in their time, and their life is being wasted. Now, we need to enjoy our time with our family and friends, enjoy our relationship with the Lord. It is not just a religious duty or another thing on our to-do list, something that takes up some of our time. No, it ought to be the best part of our day. But I tell you, we've got to free ourselves from some of the things of this world that would entangle us and hold us. By the way, nobody on their deathbed ever said, I wish I had worked more. We need to realize the things that are really important. In eternity, relationships are what matter. The happiest memories are always of family and loved ones, close friends. How fast time flies when you have children and grandchildren. I tell young couples with small children, frequently I'll say, enjoy them, because it just goes so fast. You just turn around once and they're grown. And I tell you, that time is precious. Take advantage of that time and use it to invest. The Bible says if you train up a child in the way he should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Invest in that child. Realize that you're making an investment that's going to pay off big. And I tell you, if you don't do it, it's going to cost you time and money and heartache. Now, just as there are virtually no rewards for making one installment of time in any of those important areas, usually there's no significant consequence when you fail to make one of those installments. And so we think, well, it's no big deal if I missed a day or I didn't do it this week. But in reality, there's a day coming when we'll realize that we blew it. You know, our health makes a good illustration of that. You neglect your health for a day, there's not usually any consequences. You neglect it for a week, not that big a deal. But when you neglect it for years, the consequences are severe. You know, you can neglect a child for a week and probably not notice any lasting consequence. But when you fail to make time to invest in your child on a consistent basis, that child is headed for trouble. Proverbs 29 and 15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. And I just want to stop here. We're concluding a series on wisdom. Parents, correct your children. I see a lot of parents today that think they're not supposed to correct their children. I remember when mine were little, and loved ones and family would say things to me like, you shouldn't correct them. You're going to repress their little personality. Well, it didn't work. Have you met my kids? Personality is not a problem. And I'm telling you, children need correction. Listen to the scripture. It imparts wisdom to them. Another one says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it from him, all right? They need correction. Now, some people think that if it says the rod, that means you're talking about beating children. No, we're talking about correcting children. We're talking about loving discipline. And I'm telling you, you need to correct your children. But here's the second part of that verse. A child left to himself disgraces his mother. And you see, that doesn't just mean left to himself. Oh, well, a mother left her children at home. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a child that doesn't have correction. A child that's just left to themselves to figure life out will disgrace their mother. So you got to make those daily installments of time and investing into that child. You know, me and Carmen figured this out a long time ago when ours were little bitty. Man, raising kids right is work. Even disciplining them right, it's work. It takes a lot of time and energy. But when you invest that time day in, day out, the payoffs are tremendous. By the way, you can miss church one Sunday. It probably won't affect you significantly. But when you allow it to become a habit, over time there's going to be a change in your spiritual life. First, there's going to be a significant loss of growth in your involvement in the body of Christ. I mean, that's just as simple as it can be. But there's a loss that takes place there when you don't invest that time. There's no cumulative value to all the urgent things that rob us from the things that are really important. I want you to hear this now. When we substitute what we think is so urgent for what really matters, down the road, we lose. Let's use our exercise illustration one more time. Going to get up and exercise every day. 2 months later, only exercise twice. Well, what happened? What did you do instead? I don't know. Well, think about it. What did you do? Okay, well, some mornings I just slept too late. Okay, what about the other mornings? Well, some mornings maybe I went and had breakfast with some friends once or twice. Well, what about all the other mornings? I don't know, it seemed like maybe I watched that Today Show one morning, a few mornings or something. Well, what else did you do? Well, some mornings I went to work a little early. Well, what else did you do? I don't know. Well, all those things that you did, what do you have to show for that? Nothing. I'm telling you, most of the time, the things we think are urgent or the things that we think that are important enough to put aside our relationship with our spouse, our children, our time with God, being involved in ministry, the work of the Lord, things that we allow to crowd that out of our life, most of the time there's no reward. There's nothing to show for it, and certainly nothing of eternal value. It's amazing how in the most important areas of life, you can't make up for lost time. You can't rewind. You can't go back. You can't say, well, you know, I realize now that that's important, so I'm going to go back. No, it doesn't work that way. Time just keeps going. You know, when you're in school and you haven't been doing your homework, you can study and cram and do an all-nighter and try to get ready for that test. But life doesn't work that way. You know, you can't say, well, I haven't spent any time with my kids, but, you know, I'm going to spend a whole day with them this week. It's been a couple of years since I really had any time for them, so I'm going to spend a whole day with them this week. That'll make up for it. No, it won't. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, sometimes you need to make a change and you need to make a big investment to get things headed the right direction. But hear me now. You're making an investment in the future from right now. You can't go back and redo the past. That time is already gone. But what you can do is say, from now on, I'm going to be wise with my time. I'm not going to allow any more time to be wasted in my life. I'm going to use my life. I'm going to make it count. What are the urgent things in your life that are stealing your time from the things that are truly important? What foolish activities are stealing away your time, pieces of your life that could have been invested in something meaningful? You know, one of the greatest rewards of wisdom is that when we live our lives wisely, we can look back without regret. And I'll tell you, that is especially true in regard to our time. So many people have regret about time. They say, where did the time go? Not just looking back at a day, where did it go today? But even looking back on our lives for years or decades, where did the time go? And sometimes people say things like, I've wasted so much time on foolishness or unfruitful things. So many things I hope to accomplish. Things that I wanted or wished that I had done. I tell you, we need to live our lives wisely and use our time wisely, making the most of it so that we don't have regret. Now I want to close with this, just food for thought, just to get you to really think about your time. In your week, you have 168 hours. The average person... Now, this is all, you know, give or take. This is an average, all right? The average person is going to sleep 56 hours. About 24 hours is going to be used for eating, preparing food, eating, and personal hygiene. That's a good thing, right? About 50 hours are going to be used for work and or traveling to work. And all of that comes down to you have 35 what we'll call discretionary hours to be used for other things. That, and if you spread that out evenly, of course, that would be about 5 hours a day that you can use for other things besides sleeping, work, and food and personal hygiene. 5 hours a day. And I know some of you are thinking immediately, you say, oh, well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. But I'm just telling you, for most of us, at most, we have 5 hours a day of discretionary time that we're going to decide how we invest it, how we use it. And I want to encourage you, take control of your life, of your time, and decide how you're going to invest it. Don't let it be something that you just mindlessly waste away and look back over the years and realize that you blew it, that you wasted it, and you don't have anything to show for it. No, invest it wisely. Use it for the glory of God and for things that really matter, things that will bring you a return in the long run. You know, when you have money, this isn't a message on money, okay, but I want to close with this. I want to get you thinking about this. When you have money, most people just waste it. They just waste it. But the wise thing is to invest it somehow. And when you invest it, you want to invest it into something where there's going to be a return. I want you to hear me. Your time is much more valuable than money. Don't waste it, but invest it into things that will bring a return. Don't invest it into foolish things. Invest it into wise things that will bring a return, an eternal return to you. In your close relationships, your family, your close friends, people that God would use you to reach out to, use it to spend time with God on a consistent basis and in His Word. Use it to in your involvement in the body of Christ and in fulfilling the purposes of God in your life. But be wise in how you use that time.